Ruchim Haboyim, everybody. Another week insights into Parshas HaShavua. Parshas Balak. We have a great deal to talk about, especially Balak. And Sunday, we obviously, with the fast of Shavuot B'Talma, start the 3 weeks. We have to prepare for the 3 weeks. We're back again with the 3 weeks. We have to do everything in our power to turn Tishu B'Av this year, 5781, Tavshin Payalat, into a true Yomtif, and you can only enter the 3 weeks starting with Shivosa, with proper preparation. So hopefully tonight, insights into Parshas HaShavua and the 3 weeks, Parshas Balak. I'm very grateful to all those who are here, those who are listening on the phone, and Be'ezus Hashem, when we send out the recording, those who will listen as well, I hope you get chizuk. As we say each and every week when we begin our insights into the Parsha, the point is not only for us to come together and to get chizuk and to learn the Parsha, to have insights to share, but to enhance our Shabbos Kodesh. On Shabbos, during the Suda, if you're with family, schmoozing with a friend, walking home from shul, going for a walk, think about the shir, say over Dvar Torah, share it with others, and that way we enhance our Shabbos Kodesh. Because, of course, we know Shabbos is the Mekar HaBracha, the source of all bracha. And so with that, we begin this year. Actually, this week we have two sponsors. And we're very, very grateful to our sponsors for tonight's Shir Insights into the Parsha. Firstly, to David and Esther El Nadav. They're sponsoring the Shir as a Zechus Refuah Shleima for Shulamit Bas Esther. We're mispalel be'ezras Hashem that the chizuk and the learning and the geshmak that we hopefully get from tonight's shir indeed be as a zechus for a complete, complete refuah shalema bekarev, a complete and speedy recovery to be 100% gesund for Shulamit Bas Esther. So we're very grateful to David and Esther Al-Nadav for their sponsorship. They should talk to be zeicha from their entire family to have only Yiddish and Achas and enjoy it gesuntehe. The shir is also being sponsored by Yaakov and Melissa Gutman. We're very grateful to Yaakov and Melissa for their sponsorship and to commemorate the yard site of Yaakov's mother, Malka Matio, Bas Reb Yaakov Yosef. Be'ezras Hashem, may her neshama tahira, that of Malka Matil Bas Reb Yaakov Yosef, have a lichtige Gan Eden. Tonight's shir is being learned lezecher nishmasa, le'ili nishmasa, and we're very grateful to Yaakov and Melissa for their sponsorship to commemorate the yahrzeit of Yaakov's mother. And the Ezras Hashem, they and their entire family should only have Yiddish and Nachas, gesundheit, and the best of health. Rabbi Yisai, in a few days is the yahrzeit of the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. I don't know if you're aware, but in Eretz Yisrael, there are many yard sites that are celebrated, and by that I mean people going to the Keva. One of the largest, absolute largest, celebrated yard sites in Eretz Yisrael and in many ways around the entire world is coming up in just a couple of days on Tes Vav Tammuz. Tesvav Tammuz is the yard site of the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, and there is a pshat that he says on Parshas Balak, my father's atzal. Countless times he said this over, and I think it's a beautiful way to begin. So I say it over, it's on Parshas Balak, this week's Parsha. It's something that my father's atzal always, I mean constantly, constantly said, this Dvar Torah, and it's from the Heilige Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, Zechus Yogar Aleinu, whose yard site tonight is Yod Gimel, so in a couple of nights and days, the yard site, Tesvav Tammuz of the yard site of Aruch Chaim HaKadosh is coming up. I want to share what he says. In the middle of Parshas Balak, you know that there were many things that Bilam wanted to say to curse Klal Yisrael, but of course they didn't come out as curses. The Ribbono Shel Olam turned that nevuah, that prophecy of Bilam, and his desire to curse us into brachos. It was called Bilam's Mesholim, or Bilam's brachos. Whether you refer to it as his Mesholim or his brachos, what it means is that which he intended as curses ended up coming out as blessings. We're going to address a few of them tonight. One of them, the Pasuk tells us, if you're looking inside Perek Chav Dalet, Pasuk Vav. Once again, please look inside Perek Chav Dalet, Pasuk Vav. It seems to be describing some beautiful, beautiful nature. Kicholim Nitayu, like brooks that stretch out. Kiganas Ali Nahar, like gardens that are by a river. Kaholim Nata Hashem, like aloes planted by Hashem. Ka'arozim Ale Mayim, like cedars by the water. You see that pasuk? It's mamash a beautiful pasuk, and this bracha describing Klal Yisrael seems to describe us in terms of the nature, the brook, the garden, the plants. Very, very beautiful the way we're being depicted. May I, there, advice, I take a look inside the Heilig Arachayim HaKadosh, and if you have a chance over Shabbos Kodesh, I happen to have it in front of me now, I realize you don't. On Shabbos Kodesh, open up to this pasuk, look at the Arachayim HaKadosh, and follow along what he says. He tells us that if you note, the pasuk actually breaks up Klal Yisrael in this mashal, in this bracha, into four types of trees or brooks or rivers. What's the first one? Kincholim Nitayu, like a brook that stretches out. Kiganos Ali Nahar, like gardens that are by a river. The third one is Kaholim Nata Hashem, like aloes. And the fourth one is Karozim, like cedar. Says the Arachayim HaKadosh, this pasuk, which brings down four types of brooks and rivers and trees and plants and gardens, is representing Arba Kitos HaTzadikim Shabam Hashem, four types of righteous people that are found in Klal Yisrael. Already you see how magnificent it is. The first one, he says, is like Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel HaNavi was the type of teacher and leader. Shehayim Mesabev Kol Eretz Yisrael. He didn't just stay where he was. He went out and he traveled from place to place to place to be Mezakeh the Rabbim. L'lameh Klal Yisrael Toiru Mitzvah B'chol Shana V'Shana. He went and he traveled. There's another type of tzaddik. The second type, says the Arachayim HaKadosh. Those who are kavua l'talmud Torah, they're saturated with learning Torah, they teach, they learn, they give over, but they remain where they are. They remain, so to speak, in the lishkas hagozes. They remain where they are, and from there, they teach Torah. Obviously, what the first group added over the dimension of the second group, we said, was that the first group went out. They were mezakeh the rabbim by going and going and going, whereas the second one has those come to them. Then the Arachayim HaKadosh continues and tells us there's a third type, those who are loymei Torah lishma l'atzma. They learn, they entrench themselves with Torah, but for themselves. L'hovenu l'haskil, to understand and to discern imrei nayam, the pleasant ways of Hashem, but they are learning for themselves. Not like the first two groups where you mentioned, teach to others. And then there's the fourth group, those who are machzekes, those who support and enable those in the first three groups to learn Torah. In other words, they go out to commerce and work so the others can learn. Says the Arachayim HaKadosh, the four groups that we just mentioned, the first one, they learn and teach and they travel. The second one, learn and teach but remain in place. The third one, learns from themselves, don't teach. The fourth ones, who support those who learn, are represented by the four that are mentioned in this pasuk. Follow along this beautiful journey. What is the first group that's mentioned in the pasuk? Kinicholim Nitayu. What is a nachal? A nachal is a stream. A nachal is a brook. What does a nachal do? It grows and it plants its water. Mimakum lemakum lishtais mimenu. It travels. It flows. A brook. A stream. It allows its water to go from place to place to place so everyone can enjoy its water, just like the first group who learn and teach, but travel, Torah is compared to water, to Mayim. They spread the Mayim everywhere that they go. Like a Nachal, they travel and travel and travel. What was the second thing that the Pasuk mentioned? Kiganais Ale Nahar. What is a gan? A gan is a garden. It's a garden by a river. Now that's beautiful, but if you want to enjoy it, what do you have to do if you want to enjoy the garden by the river? You go to it. You pluck the vegetable. You pluck whatever it is. You go and enjoy the luscious fruits by the garden, by the river. You have to go to it. You want to benefit? Go to it to benefit. That's similar to the second group of tzaddikim, the ones that we said that they learn and they learn and they give over of their chokhma. However, kimitzion takes a Torah. You go to Tzion. You go to the Lishkas Hagazis, and that's where you get the pleasure like going to a garden by the river. What's the third thing mentioned in the Pasuk? Ka'olim nota Hashem. An aloe planted by Hashem. We see that aholim is also from the word oihel. What does an oihel mean? A tent. What does the Pasuk say about Yaakov Avinu? Yaakov ishtom yoishev oihelim. When somebody sits in a tent, as represented here by the aloe tree, because the Pasuk uses the word aholim, not to Hashem, that refers to the tent, the aloe tree, where you learn, you sit. But that's what the person is doing. They are learning. Ein bahem koyach lashpia lezulach. They're not giving over to others, but rather they're saturating themselves with being Isaac and Tyra. And what's the fourth and final one? Arozim. Arozim are cedar. Cedar, we know, are so incredibly mighty, like the Ashirei Om, like those who are wealthy in the nation, those who have the koyach and gvura. They themselves don't have the peiros. They themselves don't have the fruit because they aren't currently being loimei taira, but like the cedar, they are machzik taira. They support those who learn. Now, boys, I have to tell you, as I said already twice, that pshat from the Arachayim HaKadosh, I cannot tell you how many countless times I heard from my father's atzal. It's so appropriate because in a couple of days is the yard set of the Arachayim HaKadosh, and because it really speaks about the beauty of Klal Yisrael. Four types of tzaddikim. The first who not only learn and teach, but they travel to be mezakeh the rabbim. They're represented, as it says, kinichol mitoyu, like the nachal, the brook and the stream that spreads its water from place to place. The second group of tzaddikim, those who learn and give over, but they remain in the lishkas hagozes. They remain where they are, and if you want to enjoy the hano, you go to them, comparable to the garden by the river. The third group we said was those who learn lishma, their Isaac and Tyra. They don't dispense it to others, but rather they saturate themselves with learning. That's like the aloe, aholim, like the word oyel, the tenth. To be saturated in the tenth of Torah. And finally, the fourth one, the Ashirei Om, the Zvulans, those who go out into commerce, they themselves aren't currently being loimei to Torah, at least a reference to those who aren't having the chance to learn Torah, and they are like the Arozim, like the cedar, tall and mighty and having the ability to support those groups that are learning and able to be machzik Torah. That was one of Bilam's mishalim. That was one of Bilam's brachos. Oh, Rabbi Isai, he didn't intend that at all. With his nevuah, with his prophecy that was given to the non-Jews as well, he intended it for a curse, but when the Ribbono Shel Olam made the words, come out of Bilam, it came out, you think, only a reference to the beauty of nature. A brook, a garden, an aloe tree, cedar. On a deeper level, says the Arachayim HaKadosh, it's a reference to the beauty of Klal Yisrael, to what makes up our tzaddikim, what makes up our nation, the entire spectrum and the beauty of Am Yisrael. That ended up bringing the mashal on the bracha of Bilam. Let's focus on some other brachos, mishalim, and let's see how we can hopefully tie them all together. A bit earlier, if you take a look, the pasuk says, "Lehibit oven beYakov veLeira amo beYisrael." It's found in Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Chav Aleph. Once again, this turned out to be Bilam's second bracha, certainly not what he intended, but that's the way it turned out. Lehibit oven beYakov veLeira amo beYisrael. The pasuk tells us Chav Gimel Chav Aleph, he perceived no iniquity in Yaakov and saw no perversity in Yisrael. There's a beautiful pshat, and if I'm not mistaken, it's from the Duvne Magid. And I hope what I'm saying, I believe I'm saying correctly, the Duvne Magid explains this pshat with a mushal. And I believe it was perhaps the Meshech Chochma who, and if I'm saying that, quoting incorrectly, I apologize, but I believe that's who it was who said, that mushal, the one that I'm about to tell you from the Duvne Magid, that was said with Ruach HaKodesh. Listen to the mushal that the Duvne Magid said and read it into this pasuk. Lehibit oven beYakov veLeira amo beYisrael. A fellow is carrying suitcases. He checks into the hotel. He goes over to the concierge. He finds out he's on the fourth floor, room 428. He tells the concierge, take my valises, my suitcases, bring it upstairs. He goes up to his room to freshen up. A few minutes later, there's a knock on the door. He opens the door, 428. And there's the concierge, and he's mamish, huffing and puffing, sweating, perspiring, out of breath. He says to the person, what do you got in these suitcases, rocks, boulders? The fellow says, what? You must have taken the wrong ones. In mine, I have diamonds. And there's no way you'd find diamonds difficult to schlep and difficult to carry. If you found it so difficult and had to exert yourself so much and look at the way you're perspiring and out of breath, you must have taken the wrong suitcases. Mine had diamonds, and they would never cause that type of reaction. You must have taken somebody else's luggage. Says the Duvne Magid, in our avodas Hashem, in our serving Hashem, our attitude must be that our package is one of diamonds. Now, I want to add, that doesn't mean that there aren't challenges. It doesn't mean that there aren't trials and tribulations. There are. Some big and some small, sometimes frequent, sometimes not so often. But what's our relationship? What's our attitude towards Avodas Hashem? We have to work on creating a feeling of diamonds, not boulders, not rocks, but something that the Ezras Hashem or Avodas Hashem is pleasurable like diamonds. Because if we feel it's rocks and boulders, then we've taken the wrong suitcase. Says the Duvne Magid, look inside the pasuk Chav Gimel, Chav Aleph. Lehibit oven beYakov. The Ribbono Shel Olam perceived no iniquity in Klal Yisrael. It means he didn't find any fault with us. He didn't find anything wrong with us. In other words, he found only wonderful things about Klal Yisrael. Why? Because look at the next words. Leira amal beYisrael. Amal means to toil. In this sense, it means a negative type of toil. Leira amal beYisrael, because when he looked at Klal Yisrael, Leira amal, he didn't see that we viewed it as an amal, as a burden, as something funereal, as something difficult. And because Leira amal beYisrael, he didn't see that we took it as a burden, as something difficult, as a boulder, as an amal, therefore we merited Lehibit oven beYakov, that he didn't find any iniquity or fault with. I believe it is that moshel and pshat that I was told, that I learned, was said beruach hakodesh. Rabbi Yisrael, there are the challenges and there are the difficulties, but let's take this second blessing and moshel of Bilam and use it to give us chizuk and to fortify ourselves. The more that we're able to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it might be a challenge, but I'll view it as a diamond. It might be difficult, but I will strive and I will try. The more we show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Loira Amal V'Yisrael, we don't view it as an amal. We don't view it as a burden. We don't view it as boulders. We don't view it as something negative. We'll try together. The blessing we'll get measure for measure is Lehibit Oven B'Yakov. He won't find any iniquity. He won't find fault with us. Let's take a look at another one of the, what Bilam intended to be, obviously, a curse, but his nevuah was turned into a mashal and turned into a bracha. This one is found every morning. We actually say it in the davening, Perek Chav Dalid, Pasuk Hei. Ma toivu ha'alecha Yaakov, Mishkin Eisecha Yisrael. Oh, how good are your tents, Yaakov, and your dwelling places, Klal Yisrael. Hopefully these psukim sound familiar as we say it each and every morning, Ma toivu ha'alecha Yaakov, Mishkin Eisecha Yisrael. Rashi and the Mefarshim bring down a few pshatim on what this blessing turned out to be. This mashal of Bilam, this blessing of Bilam, what did it turn out in the words Matribu Elecha Yaakov, Mishkan Esecha Yisrael, Rashi, and the Farshim bring down a few pshatim. But for tonight's shir, before we tie it into the 3 weeks, I'd like to just focus on one pshat. Bilam saw the way the tents and the dwelling places of Klal Yisrael were situated, and he wanted to say it as a curse, as an ayin hara, but of course it came out as a blessing. What was it that he saw, Rabbi Yisrael? Yes, I see you're saying correctly. What was it that he saw? The way that our tents, our dwelling places faced each other, they didn't open one into another. You weren't able to see directly into another person's living space. How beautiful are our tents, our homes, our apartments, our living places, when they have that character trait that we don't see into the other person's living space. The obvious benefit is tznius modesty. And the other obvious benefit is I don't always have to look to see what you have to keep up with you. You have this car. You have that in your living room. You have this parked in your driveway. And then it becomes, I'm miserable because you have more than me and I'm jealous. And the other has this. And this person has that. Look inside. Don't look outside. Focus on the brachos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. Ma toivu ha'alecha Yaakov Mishkan Eisecha Yisrael is not only a blessing because of tznius of modesty, when I can't look into somebody else's private living space because my door and their door are separate and memela, they don't look in one to the other. But it also creates a happier living, a more content and more serene life. Because I'm not always looking into your own to see. That's what you're able to have for supper every night? And you could afford that type of vase and that type of carpet and this and that and this and that. I'm always trying to keep up with somebody else. I become miserable. And I want something else, and this one has, and that one has. Thus far, Lebanon is thus. It's not a life, not in this world, and certainly not in the next world. Ma toivu ha'alecha Yaakov, Mishkan Eisecha Yisrael is a blessing of being happy with the gifts that the Ribbono Shel Olam has given us. Being appreciative for everything that I have and I could do for others, and not being miserable because I'm looking into somebody else's car, somebody else's life, somebody else's job, somebody else's family, somebody else's home. And then I can never always keep up. And I'm not happy today. I'm not happy yesterday. I'm not happy tomorrow. I can't find happiness. What do all of these brachas, these mashalim of Bilam, have to do with the 3 weeks? I mentioned when the shiur started, I certainly hope that we're smart enough not to go into the 3 weeks. Oh, yes, it's, I know those 3 weeks. It's in the summer. What is that, July? When you get in South Florida, triple digits? Can't wait till the Tisha B'Av is over and then I can go back to all those wonderful things. We have to prepare for the 3 weeks. If we want to stand a decent chance of turning this Tisha B'Av, 5781, into a genuine moed, a genuine festival, it comes from preparing for the 3 weeks. Let's take the brachas and mashalim we just spoke about and tie it together into the following pshat. There are three haftarahs that will be read during the three Shabbosos of the 3 weeks. This coming Sunday is the fast of Shavuos or Batamas, if God forbid we're still in Golos. The following Shabbos being the first and the second and the third. And of course, Tisha B'Av is Masseh Shabbos Sunday. Those three haftarahs are known as Tilos Deferanusa, the three of affliction. Because there are three funereal haftarahs that are found during the 3 weeks. The first haftarah, which we'll read next Shabbos, begins with the words, Divrei Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu. The next haftarah begins with the words, Shimu Dvar Hashem Beis Yaakov. And the third and final one that's read on Shabbos Chazoin is Chazoin Yishayahu ben Amoitz. Did you notice something interesting about those three haftarahs, how they begin? The three haftarahs that represent plus the farnus of the 3 weeks of affliction, the first one, which we'll read next Shabbos, Divrei Yirmiyahu, the words of Yirmiyahu. The next haftarah, Shimu Divar Hashem, hear the words of Hashem. And the third and final one, Chazon Yeshayahu, the vision of Yeshayahu. How extraordinary and remarkable is it that the three haftarahs focus on three different things that we do. Divrei Yirmiyahu, our power of speech. Shimu Devar Hashem, our ability to listen. And Chazon Yeshayahu, the vision of Yeshayahu. You see, it's all about speech, hearing, and sight. And the truth is, that's really represented by the Gimel Regalim of Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. Pesach is really a makeup of two words, Pesach, the mouth that speaks. The whole motif and mantra of Pesach in so many ways is all about the power of speech. That's the first of the three haftarahs, Divrei Yirmiyahu, the speech and words of Yirmiyahu as represented by the festival Pesach. The next Yom Tov is Shavuos. Shavuos is, of course, about Naaseh V'Nishma, listening, being mekabel the Torah, hearing the words of the Torah. That's the second of the three haftarahs, the one that begins, Shimu Devar Hashem. Listen to the words of Hashem. Listen to Kabbalah Satayra. Shimu Dvar Hashem is represented by the festival, the Yom Tov of Shavuos. And the third and last Yom Tov is Sukkot. So much of the Yom Tov of Sukkot is based on the eyes. We know how a person examines the Dalad Minim specifically, and especially the Esra, really all of the Dalad Minim. We know there's a halacha about a sukkah that's higher then 20 amos not being good, it's not nearer le'enayim, you wouldn't be able to see the tzach with your eyes. So much of the Yom Tov of Sukkot is about the vision, the eyes, and that's the third and final haftarah, Chazon Yeshayahu. How extraordinary is it that the three regalim, the three Yom Tovim, are precisely the three haftarahs, Pesach, Divrei Yirmiyahu, Shavuos, Shimu Devar Hashem, and of course Sukkot, Chazon Yeshayahu. time doesn't allow it, but if we had, we could certainly tie it in as well to the concept of Torah, Avod, and Chesed into Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But just to tie it into the Mishalim that we were privileged to say earlier, we spoke about the Matoivo Elecha Yaakov Mishkan Esecha Yisrael, my tent here and your tent over there. Not looking at what everybody has. Not only an issue of modesty, but not being jealous. I see that you have this, and I see you have that, and everybody, and looking and looking and looking. Don't do that. When a person works on repairing that vision, when a person works on Haftira of Chazon Yishayahu, we merit the blessing of Matoivo Elecha Yaakov Mishkan Esecha Yisrael, which is all a bracha that's based on predicated on not seeing everything else that a person has, but being extremely happy with what I have, not looking out, but looking in. Similarly, we mentioned Vayhibit oven biyakov v'leiro omo biyisro, how a person realizes that there is the avoida, but we try to make it something that is diamonds. We try to make it something that we have the ability to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It might be a struggle, but it's not an omo. It might be something that's a challenge, but it's not something that we view as boulders. And the more that we do that, the heathen of Yaakov, he doesn't find it to be something that is a iniquity within us. And that would be repairing the haftira of Divrei Yirmiyahu. When a person has the ability through their speech, it must be pointed out that earlier in the Parsha, when Mayav asked the Midyanim, you see, Klal Yisrael just defeated Sichon and Og, and those entire nations, both of them. Mayav was extremely fearful, and so they went to the Midyanim and said, we have to take care of Klal Yisrael. How do we do it? Rashi tells us in Perek of Days, Pasuk Dalet, Rashi says that they went to Midyan. And Moab asked, how could we defeat them? What is it that their strength is? What is their quality so we could counter it? Beautiful. Rashi said, Ein koichoi ela bifiv. Their power is in the mouth. And of course, Moab responded, well, we could do the same thing. And they found someone with power in the mouth. And that was, of course, a reference to Bilam. But Rashi is telling us that the Midyanim said, I'll tell you where the power of the Jew lies. Ein koichoi ela bifiv. Our mouth is what we use for tefillah to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The most powerful tool that we have. Midyan told Moab, Ein koichoi ela bifiv. Their power is their mouth. Connecting to Hashem through tefillah. It isn't always easy, but prayer allows us to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam and call out with a broken heart. When we use that power of speech for tefillah, when we work on the Haftira of Divrei Yirmiyahu, we merit the bracha of Lehibit Oven B'Yakov. And the last one that we mentioned, the bracha of what the Arachayim HaKadosh said, the learning of Torah on so many levels, the learning of Torah and teaching of Torah, the learning of Torah, the supporting of Torah, a life of Torah, that corresponds to the Haftira of Shimu Devar Hashem. When we listen to the word of Hashem, what we were mekabel by Har Sinai on Shavuos, when we listen to the word of Hashem and live that lifestyle, when we work on the Haftarah of Shimu Devar Hashem to listen and live by the words of Hashem, then we merit the bracha, the mashal of Ki Necholim Nitoyu, Ki Ganos Alei Nohar, Ka Holim Nata Hashem, Ka Rozim Alei Mayim. I hope that Ezra Farshem and B'siyata Deshmaya, with these insights into the parish and these insights into the 3 weeks, that we indeed work during the 3 weeks. We work on the Haftar of Chazon Yeshayahu, which means we work on the vision. Be happy within and not look out. Be happy with what we have. That will merit us the bracha of Matuivo Elecha Yaakov Mishkan Estecha Yisrael. When we work on Divrei Yirmiyahu, after all the Rashi said, the Midyanim told Mayav, Ein Koich Oy Ela Bifin, their powers in their mouth, their ability to daven, to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. When we do that, even when things are difficult, and we turn to the Ribbono Shel Olam, when we work on the Haftar of Divrei Yirmiyahu, we merit Lo Hibit Oven B'Yakov Eloiram of Yisrael. And finally, when we work on the Haftar of Shimu Dvar Hashem, to listen to the Torah, to let it guide us, to let it saturate and permeate everything that we do. When we learn Torah, when we breathe Torah, when we love Torah, when we support Torah, and we work on that of Torah of Shimu Dvar Hashem, then we merit the bracha of Kincholim Nitayu, as explained by the Arachayim HaKadosh. May it be the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam that all of the brachas and the Meshalim of Bilam indeed apply to us on the deepest level, both in quantity and quality. May we merit to work on the three Haftarahs, the Chazon, the Divrei, and the Shimu, so that the next time we experience the Yomim Tovim of Pesach and Shavuos of Sukkos, it will indeed be B'chutzos Yerushalayim, because indeed this year, Tisha B'Av, may it indeed be Amayed the Ezras Hashem.